You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fake news. Listen, you're being rude. You're fake news.
Donald. Fake news. I'm being rude. Pipe down, buddy. Pipe down. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk, and five days away from our happy hour trivia at Games and Gadgets Wednesday night, 5:30 in the evening. I just got a text from Mark over there. He was in Europe with his lovely wife doing up a little summer vacay, so he's back and ready to Roomba, as we say.
Or LARP.
You love LARPing. LARPing is live-action role-playing for all of you folks, where you dress up in your favorite costume and act like a character and
so
fight each other.
Playing Renaissance Festival all over town.
Correct. Okay. One of the most bizarre things I saw was at NAU visiting one of my kids in the last few years, and they had the NAU Jedi Club. And all of a sudden, in like one of the quads, there's 78 geeks with light-up lightsabers having pretend fights. It was pretty fun. I guess it's better than doing cocaine, so why not?
Jeez, thanks for that.
That's the fabulous Mark Van Buren.
Good morning.
And if you missed any of the show, magical, life-changing. Had a great time with the Westward Look Resort, John and Rich.
Absolutely.
Deconstructed breakfast burrito tacos today with some fresh fruit. And remember, we're doing our big Honor Flight fundraiser there on August 17th.
Should be a hoot.
All right, we're doing top 10 family dramas, and we've done one. No, two.
We've done two. The two were Chef and Field of Dreams. The next one up at number 8 is The Sound of Music. 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Disney. And it won for one Oscar for Best Original Score, Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Editing. And you have to have this if you're talking about family dramas, because Julie Andrews plays a governess who takes charge of this family with 7 children, a widowed naval officer, and she takes over. And it takes place during a looming threat of World War II. And it's just phenomenal. I mean, she basically... The kids were dominated by their father, and she comes in and softens it up a little bit, and
Mom passed away,
and it is just a really, really, really nice movie. And the musical score in this is phenomenal. I remember as a kid we had it, and I think we wore it out. So it's a really good flick. 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So many memorable songs.
Yeah.
Right, if you're going to say of a musical percentage of songs that were memorable, this is probably one of the top, you know, dominating the dojo, as Kramer would say.
Oh, I think so, sure.
You know, and then there's the big ones, but there's great songs. Like, I like What Do You Do With a Problem Like Maria? Mm-hmm. Great song. Mm-hmm. Any line that has the word flibberty gibbet in it, I'm there. And we had a little taste of Sound of Music yesterday, because our good friend Bev's playlist was Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals.
I know. I heard it.
So
yeah, that was a good list.
That was a good one. Yep. What's your next one?
Next one up is one of my favorite movies, just period. And I'd love this flick. Secondhand Lions, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. It stars
God dang.
Robert Duvall and Haley Joel Osment.
I see dead people.
Michael Caine.
Yes.
Michael Caine, of course. And you can see it on Tubi. And what happens here is the two uncles, Robert Duvall and Michael Caine, are very eccentric guys, but they have done some incredible things in their lives, and they're older. And Haley Joel Osment comes to them, and he has to spend the summer with them. And he finds out that they don't have TV. And, you know, he was like, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible. But then he really starts to appreciate these guys and the stories that they tell and the things that go on in their lives. It's just an absolutely amazing thing. And what a wonderful story about a young boy gravitating toward two older uncles and really understanding a lot about life through that. It's an amazing movie.
So I'm trying to remember. I've seen this movie once. I did like it.
I've seen it a couple times.
What was the... his parents were dead? Gone? What was it?
I believe they had passed away.
I'm trying to remember now.
I believe they had passed away because they were looking for someone to take over the... guardianship.
I remember working with the great Robert Duvall and the spooky kid from The Sixth Sense.
Oh, no, I remember. He had an irresponsible mother, is what it was. I think the father was out of the picture. So
Gotcha.
And that's why I think the authorities came in and said, okay, you guys are taking him over. And there's some wonderful scenes. They go out for barbecue, and these young kids come in and try to taste Robert Duvall's barbecue. And he proceeds to take them to task and takes them all on, and it's unbelievable. It is just a great, great scene.
That's awesome. Secondhand Lions. Where are we watching this thing?
Secondhand Lions. You can see it on Tubi.
Nice. And
I love Tubi.
So Colleen sends me a thing for artisan Vermont cheese from the Von Trapp Farmstead.
Oh, wow.
And I said, where are you buying it? And she goes, from the actual place in Vermont. We were there last month. It's where the Von Trapps fled from after the war.
Oh, no kidding.
So if you're in Vermont, you can get some Von Trapp.
In Vermont, you can do the whole thing in a couple of days. I mean, I had hotels in Vermont and when I was a regional, and I used to travel there all the time. And it's the whole state is charming. It's just really, really a nice state.
What's your next one?
Next one up is...
that's why Bob Newhart opened a
bed and breakfast.
Bed and breakfast in Vermont. Come on.
Stand By Me, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Sling TV and Philo.
Philo, that's right, you
can see that. Yeah, yeah. And this stars Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, and Corey Feldman.
Will Wheaton.
And it's a story of these kids that all come from dysfunctional families, and they go on an adventure together. They had heard that there was a dead body, and they wanted to go out and discover it. And it's just a really, really interesting thing. And at the end of the movie, the thing that really gets to me is Richard Dreyfuss plays Will Wheaton. As far as the voice
Richard
goes.
Richard Dreyfuss.
As an older man. And he's writing a book about this adventure. And what he writes is, at the very end, he writes, I never had any friends later on like the ones I had when I was 12. Does anybody? And when you think about it, you know, when you're that young and that impressionable, you have very good friends at that. And then do you have that same kind of friendship later on as an adult? Most of us don't, because many of us get married or involved with relationships, and you don't have the same kind of friendship that you did when you were that age. Kind of interesting.
I think it's rare.
Yeah, I think
that
it is too.
That it does. But so I've been blessed. Maybe it's just my personality. I have friends now that I are just as close to as my friends at that age. And then the spooky thing, of course, is I'm still friends to this point with friends that I knew when I was 6 years old, when I was that level of friend with. So I have three friends like that I've known since the 80s,
right,
that we're still friends. We see each other. When we see each other, it's as if we never left each other.
Yeah, I would say that's very unusual.
Those guys would take a bullet for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's that level of...
I would say I have acquaintances from that age, but that's about it. And part of that is because... Well, and you have, though, too. I've been away from my hometown.
Yeah, you're a different bear also because you moved all over.
I left and moved all over. So I have friends all over the United States. And so I don't have that same kind of bond with people that I, you know, grew up with that much. So,
yeah. All right. Anyway. Let's go visit some great
sponsors,
except Kathleen Wynn. Those commercials are a train wreck. But let's go to break.
Yeah, I love how Trump supported the other guy, and she's talking about
it. He's a never Trumper.
I know.
Again, what I love about this crew is she makes up crap like that, and the MAGA purity guy's like, oh, she's really sticking it to Juan. And then Vince Leach just reminds you of all the interesting things that fell out of Wadsack's pie hole, and they're like, he's a bastard for bringing that up. I love it. Oh, here we go. Count Basie covering some group called the Ruttles, the Beatles.
Met him a long time ago. Great guy.
All right. It's Hard Day's Night by the Count Basie Orchestra. Let's do it. Oh, there it is. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Little Richard Cheese from the award-winning acclaimed Dick at Night album. And we're hanging out with Matt Neely, Christy Simone, and Mark Van Buren. Mark, welcome back, my friend.
Good to be here.
Hold on, I'll put your microphone on. Do radio together. Good morning, Mark.
Good to be here. Am I there? I'm not.
Your mic's on, Mark.
Okay.
All right, I will come over and take care of this.
Hold on. Does he need to move to?
Grab that one right there.
Let's go to another microphone. We can't. Here we go.
Hello?
Oh,
there we go.
Okay.
Wow. Look at that.
Sexy, sexy, sexy is the great Chubby Checker.
We do
said.
Adapt.
Yes. All right. What's our next one?
Next one up is Mrs. Doubtfire. And Robin Williams, Sally Field, Pierce Brosnan, 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. It won for Best Makeup. And
that in Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. And you can see this on Disney. And I will tell you that. Robin Williams is probably one of the most underrated actors of all time. I think he's just sensational. And this is the story of a couple getting divorced, and he misses his kids so much, and he wants to have a relationship with them. He applies for the nanny's job as a female, and dresses up into this garb, and quite convincing looks like a nanny. And there's some very, very funny scenes in it, but it's also the story of him wanting to be close to his kids. And I think it's heart-rending, and it's just a really, really good performance.
To this day, the one line that I always use when I don't recognize a phone number.
Yes.
When on my cell phone.
Yes.
I do, hello, just like Mrs. Doubtfire. That's my.
That'll do it for you.
And then, of course, they'll be like, Chris? Oh, hey, what's up?
And they go, who the hell was that?
But the telemarketers?
Yeah.
It's hot.
Hello! I like it.
Because especially after I've heard that they're doing that scam where they're recording your voice.
Yeah.
If you just say hello and
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
And so now they
I just don't answer it anymore. But one of the best ones I ever heard was when Jerry Seinfeld got called. Remember that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he calls and he goes, hey, listen, I'm really busy right now, but if you give me your name and number, I'll call you back. Oh, we can't do that. He goes, oh, in other words, you don't want to be bothered by a phone call. And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, now you know how I feel. And he hangs up on him.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you want let's test this mic one more time. Let's see. Let's see. Don't break this one, Van Buren. Jeez.
Hello.
There you go. Perfect.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Right. Wow. Look at Matt. He's on the fly.
This is what you can do with some silly putty, baby.
Oh,
love it.
There you go.
Love it.
All right.
Ready? What's your next one?
Number four, Mary Poppins, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Disney. It won for Best Actress, Julie Andrews. Dick Van Dyke was also in this. Is also Glynis Johns. And I discovered something about Glynis Johns. Glynis Johns is the daughter of Chris and I are always talking about every Christmas about what? What movie?
Die Hard.
No, not what? Die Hard.
You walked into that, bro. Not
no, not Die Hard.
You're right. Chris.
Anyway,
Alistair Sim
Christmas
Carol.
And the man who plays Bob Cratchit is Glynis Johns' father.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. But this is a great musical, one of the best of all times. It was released in 1964. The director is Robert Stevenson, and it's really a story of a dysfunctional family who Mary Poppins becomes the nanny, and really brings the whole family together. It has some wonderful music in it. Again, another soundtrack that basically I think on our LP, we wore that one out as well. Just a great, great flick. And I was watching scenes of it yesterday, and you go, does this really hold up now when you're looking at it? And yes, it does. It's really, really well done.
All right, let's sneak Pat Johnston on before we go to break. Pat, you're on with Chris and Mark. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just wanted to tell you my air conditioning went out Tuesday night.
Uh-oh.
And you know, I'm way out west into the desert. It's like 111 degrees. And I called Picture Rocks early Wednesday morning. They got out there that afternoon. They completely re-auled my air conditioner, with the moral of the story is you should have those yearly checkups that they recommend there.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, Morgan and Austin, you probably know those two guys.
I do.
They're technical wizards with their phone. You know, they do everything with their phone on these things now.
Yep.
And they got me fixed up. Now, it did cost a lot of money, but that's okay. It's my fault. And Mark, I enjoyed my conversation with you when we were at St. Philip's Plaza.
Yeah.
About South Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
I need to sit down and have some coffee about some of the mafia dealings there.
Yeah, I know a couple of those guys.
Do you remember Richard Schwartz and Henry Rubino?
Oh, sure.
And you know what happened to them, right?
Yeah.
Do they work for Hillary Clinton?
A demise that happens to quite a few of those type of guys.
Yeah, the way they happen, too, are pretty interesting.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hmm. I've never seen an ignition on a car blow up like that. That's weird.
Thank you.
You know, talking about Picture Rocks, though, they helped me out. I was in a jam with a water heater, and they're so fantastic. I mean, they come out and take care of it right away, and a lot of companies don't, you know, and they're just fantastic. I love them.
And the guys, they're very professional, just like they said. They're friendly, professional, and you like having them there.
No question.
Hey, it's hard to find.
All right, Pat. Thanks for the good shout-out to Ron and Janae's beautiful company called Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling.
I had this album.
And you're welcome, sir. And by the way, get rid of that Laurel and Hardy radio technical stuff, all right?
Thank you. Bye, Pat.
Bye.
Taste of Honey. We had this album as well, and it's one of the most controversial ones ever. The picture on it. I love it.
Dolores Erickson.
In Whipped Cream.
For some reason, Mark always had this. No, I'm not going to say it. All right,
shut
you're
up.
On Wake Up
shut
Tucson.
Up.
10:30 Voice. Local news to talk. Now we're swinging. Little Duke Ellington.
We are slinking.
This is called Such Sweet Thunder.
This is Joe's jam.
Poor Higgins. Poor Higgins. He loves this stuff.
I know.
Fake news.
Donald, stop. We're hanging out with Mark Van Buren. Let's go to Bill number one. He's got a drama movie. I think it's called The Pima GOP.
It could be.
Oh.
It absolutely could be.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Drama, yes. Dramedy, most definitely.
Thank anyway. You. Hold on.
You're welcome. You know, a good movie to pair with Mary Poppins, if you're doing a family evening that maybe a younger crowd, stick with Mary Poppins. But if it's an older crowd, even, you know, young teenagers, I would highly recommend Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes. I think that was a really, really good I guess it would be called a sequel, right? I think it was really well done. Yep.
No, that's great. So this is Emma Thompson, right, as P.L. Travers?
Yes, and it'll hit close to home if you've got alcoholism in your family. But overall, it does a great job of not just showing the behind the scenes of how sometimes movies get made, and you know the drama that's associated with trying to get a particular author that has a very particular way they see a movie being made about something they poured their heart and soul into.
Yep.
But it also is a heartwarming story.
No, I agree. And you're right about the book adaptation in the movie world, right? Because that's the thing. Because how many times do you say, well, the book was better than the movie, right?
Yep.
And so you have to take, as an author, you have to take two stances here. Either you dive in and do it, right, like J.K. Rowling did with a bunch of the Potter movies.
Absolutely.
Or Alan Moore, who's a comic book writer, he did Watchmen and another one. He literally says, give me my money.
Right.
And then he puts out, I have nothing to do with this. Right? you can creatively rape my characters and I don't care. Just give me my, and he just tells, I have nothing to do with this.
Right.
Right. But you're right. P.L. Travers, and I like Tom Hanks as Walt Disney in this movie too.
I thought he was really good.
Yep.
One of his better roles.
So, good suggestion. Saving Mr. Banks.
Thank you, Bill.
What's your next one?
My next one is the third one, Manchester by the Sea, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's kind of a sleeper. I think quite a few people haven't seen this
one. I've never seen this.
It was done in 2016. You can see it on Amazon Prime. Casey Affleck won the Oscar for best actor in this, and is really a good flick. What happens here is this young man's father dies, and the brother Joe leaves Casey Affleck as the sole guardian. And he's a janitor in Boston, and so he has to leave his job and go down to Manchester, where he has to face all of his demons and, you know, deal with depression, because he has a life that he left behind there, an ex-wife and several other things. But the dialogue in this movie is just sensational. It's just really, really a good flick.
Do we keep to good Boston accents during this film?
There's some good Boston accents.
All right, I want to make sure this isn't Kevin
Boston accents.
Yeah, I don't want this as Kevin Costner playing Robin Hood.
No. He was hands down the best actor winner in for this movie.
Got to clean out the yard. So
got to go down to Boston, Harvard Yard.
Absolutely, yeah. Harvard Yard. That's so
go down to the Cape.
What's your number two?
Number two, To Kill a Mockingbird. We've talked about this movie before.
Sick of this movie making all your lists.
I'm sorry. It's such a good movie. 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Tubi and Plex. It was done in 1962. The director was Robert Milligan, and he plays, what's his name?
Atticus
Finch. And he's an attorney, and he's defending a black man who is falsely accused of a crime. And Atticus goes down because he hears this lynch mob is going to go down to the jail where his client is, and they're going to try to lynch him. And so he goes down there and holds off the mob, but it's looking really bad. But Atticus's Finch three kids come, and they start interacting with some of the people in the mob because they know them as the fathers of kids that they know.
Sure, that's the neighbors.
And the kids actually turn them around, and this is the story of just so many different things, but redemption and the prejudice that exists and how it affects the family. And there's some really good life lessons in this story. So it's such a well done movie, and even though it's in black and white, Joe, it still holds up today.
Written by Hoppa Lee. I just want to get that in there.
Hoppa.
Number one is The
number
Godfather.
Number one is, no. this is my number one, and Moonstruck. I absolutely think this is one of the best cast movies ever done. Ever done. I really and truly do. And my computer's not working. But
Danny Aiello. Cher, Nicolas Cage,
yeah.
John Mahoney, Olympia Dukakis, Cats and Dogs Living Together.
I mean, there's so many wonderful scenes in it, but a lot of them take place around the dinner table, and just the interactions that happen with families, and the speech that, what's his name? Nicolas Cage does to Cher, and it's absolutely incredible, and it's just all the dynamics of it. Olympia Dukakis is in a restaurant with John Mahoney, and John Mahoney's breaking up, or this girl's young girl's breaking up with him. He's a professor in a college, and so she invites him over to his table, and they start talking. And one of my favorite lines is she says to him, "What you don't know about women is a lot."
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't, you know, and it was just an amazing, amazing story about, Cher is engaged to Danny Aiello, which is kind of like, really? and then Nicolas Cage, the brother of Danny Aiello, basically falls in love with Cher. And they have an affair, and it all comes to a head at the end of the movie, and it is absolutely an amazing thing. And, you know, did they hit the Italian family? Wasn't it that
what
good?
It is, it's so there's the dynamic between the family members.
Right.
They nail that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, there's kind of the stereotypes of some Italian family members, right?
Sure.
So there's the son who is so worships the mother. Right, and that's the Danny Aiello.
Yes,
he's kind of that weak.
Oh, he's
mama's,
very
the weak mama's
he's
boy.
Definitely a mama's boy, no question about
right?
it.
Right, that's
yeah. Whatever she wants, that's what happens. Right.
I love the grandfather with the dogs.
Oh,
I know nine guys in New York who are exactly that guy.
So Olympia Dukakis is so mad with him because he keeps feeding the dogs from the table, right? So they're all around his feet and everything. And she goes, old man, if you feed those dogs one more time, I'm going to throw you out.
and there's really nice touches here too, right? So the final scene where they're eating breakfast together, right? And Cher is making the bird in the egg's nest where you take the piece of Italian bread, you cut the hole in it, then you put the egg and you flip it,
right?
Kind of thing. That's it's just a nice touch, as like to say.
I just love the. I can watch it over and over again because I think you just pick up little nuances. But I got to tell you, Cher, when she goes to the opera with him, she is stunning in that. Her hair is absolutely magnificent, and I just, she was really, really good.
Your hair is magnificent right now.
I know it is. I know it is.
Here's Chris's honorable mentions.
Yeah.
So one you've heard me say a zillion times before is How Green Was My Valley, 1941.
I know. Yep.
That's a definite one.
Yep.
The one that I thought you were going to say.
Yes.
Now, again, you only got 10, so.
I know. It's fine.
This is where I think the one of the granddaddies of them all is On Golden Pond. All right? So you can't get more family drama, right?
Oh,
and,
big time.
And the performances in it.
Yeah.
Everyone in that is great.
Yeah.
Right? Henry Fonda as Norman Thayer Jr.
Do you think there was any... Do you think there was actual...
Yes.
You know, between Jane Fonda and her father was actual stuff.
I think
not,
so.
Not acting. And that's what
I think
what
it was like therapy through acting.
I agree. And that's what I picked up on immediately. I said, this is real. You know?
Katharine Hepburn, who I love to death.
Yeah.
She is unbelievable in this movie.
Yeah, she's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
The little punky kid... Doug McKean, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. Okay. And then even Dabney Coleman kills it as Jane Fonda's boyfriend, soon-to-be fiancé.
Indeed.
Right?
Yeah.
As we like to say in Ang Lee movies you can't stand, the cinematography was beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? It caught. And I'm married to a girl. I've spent time on lakes in New England.
Yep. Oh, I have too.
And they've nailed it, right? They nailed that whole summer lake thing in New England, right?
Yep.
Almost as good as What About Bob at Lake Winnipesaukee. Okay.
But weren't the Blues Brothers there too? Or, I don't know.
But such a good... and they all won... I mean, so many Oscar wins on this thing.
I'd have to agree. Yeah.
You know, the loons, Norman, the loons were there.
Have you ever heard a loon?
I have.
It is an amazing experience. If you've never heard this, I used to go up to Canada on vacation, on these fishing vacations, and we'd be in a cabin. And on the lake, when the sun would come up at like 5:30 in the morning, you hear these things singing, and there is not another sound like that in the world. It's amazing.
It is. The other two I have is Lion in Winter.
Sure.
Right? Yep. It's family drama from hundreds of years ago, but that's a great one. And then I put Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that was an amazing film for when it came out.
Yeah.
Because the country was going through this change and how they look at, you know, interracial things. And it was an amazing film. Really was. And Sidney Poitier was, wow.
But again, I got, you know, I got Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Yeah.
We're going to take a phone call and then we're going to go to break. And then I want to kind of wrap up this family drama thing with you a little bit.
Okay.
With some drama. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, look at that.
Let's go to Chuck on line two. Chuck, good morning. You're on with Mark and Chris. What's up, buddy?
Good morning. I'm not sure most people would think this is a family movie, but I love it. It's Mr. Chips.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would definitely think there was a family movie.
So Mr. Chips, there's the black and white one, and then there's the one with Peter O'Toole. Do you like one better than the other?
Well, no, the black and white one by far.
Yeah. And the story, again, is Mr. Chips is this very timid professor at this prestigious boys' school. And what happens is he falls in love with this young lady who just kind of not only turns his life around, but literally turns this kind of the school dynamic upside down in a way. And then she passes away, and then sadness ensues, as we like to say.
Mm.
So great choice, Chuck. I appreciate that, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
8:47 in the morning. Chris and Mark are going to look at camera two together and wrap this sucker together.
There you go.
Like a Jerry Springer special. The Ackerley boys are in the green room right now. Matt, what do they got going on the Ackerley boys today? What's going on there? This is the Brian Setzer Orchestra doing the classic Batman theme.
They're going to see. They're going to be speaking with Jacob Barr with iRapture.
All right, there we go.
Adam West and Burt Ward.
You are correct.
You're Matt Damon and never mind.
No.
Julie Newmar is Catwoman, the best.
Earth is good too, though.
She filled out that costume pretty well.
What does that mean?
There we go.
Well,
847
means whatever you want it to mean.
Do you notice how now we've
Bam,
learned
how
the Julie Newmar and then the girl on the Whip Delights? I've known that one too with Mr.
Dolores
Mark
Erickson.
It's gonna be a heck of a Friday here. Wake up, our boy Richard Cheese doing the classic Spider-Man theme song. He arrives just in time, just like Wake Up Tucson. Oh, there it is. Mark Van Buren, Christy Simone, and you. Mark and I are both going to look at camera two. That's the wrap-up section of Wake Up Tucson. So what do we notice about movies that you're talking about? And what so the big thing is this, and this is this, we're going to take it to, it's, we're almost taking it to Christy Simone's Faith Family Schools argument, right?
Yep.
We're documenting the breakdown of the relationship between parents and their kids, right? And how sometimes it's resuscitated, right, through a variety of actions or changing of behaviors. But in the end, the absent father or broken father, that relationship is it dominates what we're talking
about,
right?
It's a killer. But the other thing that I don't think our society has dealt with at all, worth a darn, okay? And that is when mom went out into the workplace. I grew up, and I think you grew up, with mom at home. And there's a big, big difference between coming home and your mom's there and she gives you a snack and she's preparing dinner and all that type of thing, and her not being there. Because it really goes into other things. For example, okay, what are we eating? So what happens is mom picks up some chicken or she picks up burgers on the way home from some fast food place, and that's dinner. And it's not the same. And we just haven't dealt with that at all. And I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not saying mom should be at home.
The fingers.
But I will tell you that our society has never dealt with that at all. In my opinion, they haven't dealt with it. And the breakdown of the family, I think, starts there for me.
Yeah, it is. And I think what's happened over the last 10 to 20 years, somehow being a traditional, I don't care if mom or dad stays home. I don't really care.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
But there should be somebody.
But there's some sort of shame in being the traditional house dad, house mom kind of thing,
yeah,
which is horse crap. So we made the conscious decision with our kids is that one of us would stay home until they got old enough that
we did exactly
the
same
thing. I can see the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I had an assistant manager, Jill. You know her.
Sure.
Her husband stayed at home with his son. They homeschooled him, and you know he's growing up to in a really loving household.
Yeah.
And there's something about that, and you can say, well, mom needs to go out and earn money and all that stuff too, and maybe that's true. But the fact of the matter is, it has changed the family dynamic, and we haven't dealt with it well.
Yeah.
Government hasn't done anything for it. I mean, they just haven't. And
well, the government's tried to replace the parent.
And that doesn't work.
Right. Especially through public schools and things like this.
I know.
And I've learned over time, right, the relationship from between a father and a daughter.
Yep.
Right. And then mother and son. There's something about if there's a broken part of that, then this is something these people are dealing with a good portion of their lives.
I was so close to my mom. My mom just passed away a couple months ago and lived to be 86, and we were close. I called her every week, if not more than that. I visited her as much as I possibly could. I was traveling at one point going up to Rochester because I had hotels up there, and I saw her a lot. And we were very, very close. And I was always very thankful to have that because so many of my friends never had that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just something golden about it. It's true.
Right. And then, you know, you have 50, over a 50% divorce rate.
Yep.
Right. And then what happens is usually it's dad decides, you know, if I pay my alimony, somehow I've completed fatherhood. Right. That's not the way this works.
Well,
right?
But I think you go back to the Greatest Generation too, because some of that generation was the fathers believed, and this was a problem too back then, and it carried over, is that, I bring home a paycheck, that ought to be good enough. How many people have ever heard their father our age tell them that they love them?
Mine did a lot.
Mine never did. Okay. Right. And the thing is, I think that generation, there was something about that. There was a stigma attached to it or whatever, like you're soft or whatever, like men don't cry. They don't tell their sons that they love them and that kind of stuff. And it's sad. It really and truly
is. Was your dad a firstborn?
Yes. He was a firstborn.
That's his problem.
Yeah. I was a firstborn. My wife was a firstborn. And we have a lot of similarities. So there's something to birth order. I really believe that.
There's truth to that, right? Yeah. And so my dad was the baby of his.
Okay.
No, he was the middle.
Middle.
Right. And he was very expressive of his love for all of us kind of thing. I think that you take that generation and firstborn.
Yep.
Then it starts getting to, I think, that behavior a little more.
I agree.
Well, we did a hell of a show. We've solved society in the last segment.
Look at that.
It's amazing. So thanks for all your efforts always.
Absolutely.
See you for pickleball this weekend.
Absolutely.
And Rich from the Westward Look says, because me and John were trying to get together for lunch next week, and then we said, why don't we play pickleball? And now Rich wants us to play a charity pickleball match.
It's on.
I heard it's at noon.
Well, I'm there.
Yeah, that'll last about 5 minutes.
Let's head to the bar, guys.
Exactly.
You know what we say? I say, name a court anywhere, anytime. I'll take you on. That's it. I'll play in the back of a fentanyl camp over in Pio Nuevo. Wherever you want, we'll freaking do it. So Ackerley's coming up with Jump in Tucson. Everyone have an amazing weekend. Make sure you email wakeuptucson@gmail.com to RSVP for Honor Flight. And we'll see you Wednesday night at Tucson Games and Gadgets, Tucson Mall, Trivia Happy Hour. Matt, love you. Peace out. Word.